All right, if you would join me in turning to the book of Ezra and your Bible there in the Old Testament, the book of Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9. We have about 3 weeks, maybe a little more than that, before we have our revival meeting with John Van Gelderen. Coming up here very soon, and we want to start preparing for that, preparing our hearts and preparing our minds and simply just seeking the Lord regarding revival in our church, in our personal lives, because that is where it starts indeed, our personal walk with God, and we certainly want to seek the Lord in that way. But Ezra chapter 9 is where we'll find. If you have gone through to Nehemiah, you've gone a little too far, just go back a little bit. And Ezra chapter 9, verse 8. Ezra chapter 9, verse 8. The Bible says, "And now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage." And notice again the last part of that verse. He has shown a space, in the beginning part of the verse, he says a space of grace. There is a remnant to escape, a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes. Talking about a spiritual awakening here and give us a little reviving in our bondage. Let's pray together. Lord, I am so thankful for the Word and the clarity of the Word. And as we come to You tonight, especially, Lord, in the light of our upcoming meeting with Brother Van Gelderen, we realize that revival is not going to be found in a preacher. We realize revival is not going to be found necessarily in a meeting. But, Lord, we realize that revival is found when the Holy Spirit of God moves upon the heart, the hearts of Your children. And that when we respond to that moving of God, Lord, please help us in this. We really do want it. We want to grow in grace. And we want to be closer to Thee. So help us even tonight, Lord, as we trust You and as we trust Your Word and the work of Your Spirit. Thank You so much, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you'll remember, as far as the timeline goes, Zerubbabel was the one who first went back from captivity to Jerusalem. He took the first group there in exile, and they arrived in Jerusalem, and one of the first things they began working on was rebuilding the temple for the worship and reinstituting that seeking God and worshiping God and offering the sacrifices that were needed. But things slowed down. And, of course, we can find the accounts of that and the minor prophets that were, preaching during that time, Haggai and others that were there, Zechariah. They were preaching during that time when there was a lull in building the temple. But nevertheless, that was Zerubbabel's time frame. And then came along in the second group that came out of Babylonian captivity, Persian captivity at that time, would be Ezra. And when Ezra came back with that second group, that's when they realized that there needed to be a revival in preaching. A revival in teaching. Really, what it comes down to, a revival in the Word of God. loving God's Word, reading God's Word, obeying God's Word. And that's where we have here. And of course, Nehemiah that we just studied last year, he came back with the third group where they, of course, saw revival, even in rebuilding the walls was the emphasis. But Ezra was there and trying to get the heart stirred again for responding to God's working, God's Word. But nevertheless, we see in his language here, and by the way, this, what we just read was a small part of Ezra's prayer. It's quite in depth here as he cries out to God in confession. As even in verse 6, you can see there when he said, "Oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up into the heavens." And he goes through and explains that. But even in the midst of this confession, he knows that there is hope in God reviving his people. And that's where we are. We are also in people in need of revival. And I think a question that I could even give tonight's study would, how much do we want revival? How much do we want revival? I think we can answer that question with a question. We could say this, how much do we need revival? How much do we need revival? Leonard Ravenhill said this, "As long as we are content to live without revival, we will." What a true statement. So the question we could even ask ourselves tonight in honesty and transparency is, how are we doing? Do I need revival? Do you need revival? Do we as a church, Quicken Creek Baptist Church, very personally, do we need revival? Well, I think that you can answer that in several ways. But the easiest one, I believe, would just be simply yes. We do. And we could do a test tonight, a quick test, and it'd be very quick for us to consider the need of revival. One is, how are we doing in our relationships? Does anybody need a revival in a relationship today? I believe so. I believe we all can point to some type of relationship. It may be marital, it could be employee, employer, relationship, could be a distant family. I don't know what it is, but I think we all could really agree that there is some relationships in our life that could use some reviving. Would you agree to that? Yeah. Not only our relationships, but even truly simply our walk with the Lord. I believe there are areas in our walk with God that could use some reviving. It could be in the realm of Bible reading. It could be in the realm of prayer. It could be in the realm of simply trusting God, along with our theme this year. In Him will I trust. And just really our love for Him. It can grow cold in this world. I think of the idea of witnessing. You know, we all could use a revival in our witnessing, our responsibility to share the gospel. And I know that that's something that I would love to have, and I'm seeking the Lord on that, because I know that there was a time in my life where I had a greater burden for lost people. And I'm asking the Lord for a reviving. You know, we need to ask ourselves this, and this is not to, of course, this is not to guilt trip or anything like that. That's not the purpose of it. The Holy Spirit speaks to you in this. That's fine, of course. But a question to ask ourselves is, when is the last time we had the great privilege and opportunity to lead someone to Christ? That's a good question to ask ourselves. Now, again, that's not a pharisaical. That could be asked in a pharisaical way, because you could almost ask that question where, if you hadn't led anybody to the Lord, that means you're not spiritual. That's just not true. That's not a logical conclusion. Seriously, if you look at it in the sense that you could be, I think maybe a better way to probably ask that question, if we're wanting to give ourselves a test, is when is the last time we attempted to lead someone to Christ? Because God's the one that saves people. That's not us. We build relationships. We're conscious of the fact that people are going to hell if they haven't trusted Christ, and we want to be burdened about that. But we need a revival in that area, no doubt. Some maybe not. Some right now perhaps are experiencing just some victory in that area, and you're really, God's doing a work in your life. And that's wonderful. Our prayer life, as I mentioned, our faith, just believing the Lord. How many here would admit that we could use a revival in our faith and believing the Lord and where we're at right now, what He's going to do, trusting Him for the future and believing God for the impossible? What about our discipline? I wonder if we would not take inventory to see if we could use some revival in our discipline. That is, to be able to say no to certain things and to say yes to others that we currently aren't doing. Really, that is a needed area of our lives that need reviving. That we are quickly, if we're not careful, we're quickly to indulge. And, you know, I think of specifically whether it's entertainment, sports, I mean, hobbies. It could be various things. I mean, it could be work. Workaholics have a tendency not to have enough discipline to realize, you know what, I need a day just to stop and put stuff aside and focus, you know, just on my walk with the Lord and take a day with my family. You know, there's a discipline aspect that sometimes there are people, Christians, meaning well, to get so overwhelmed with having to do. We understand we need revival in that way. Family togetherness, we would understand that. What about our fervency for the Lord? You know, there's a difference. I heard a statement. I don't know what station it was. I can't remember. Maybe it's like 102.7 or 102.9. I can't remember. But anyway, I just flipped it on because I go between BBN and this one, a couple of those down there. But Chip Ingram, I don't know much about him, but he was giving a challenge there. And I thought what he said was pretty interesting. In fact, he was saying, you know, he was talking about, he's going through a series on the difference between a good Christian and a great Christian. And I kind of like, oh, that's interesting. Never heard that. Because, you know, that could, you know, someone could take that the wrong way. Almost like, well, if you consider yourself a great Christian, isn't that prideful? Well, it can be. But what his point was is like, do you want to be a good father or do you want to be a great father? Do you want to be a good husband or do you want to be a great husband? You know, and I think his point was, is we don't want to settle for mediocrity. We want to strive for excellence as God's people. We want to have a fervent love. We just don't want to get by. And in fact, I believe the Lord's leading me to preach a message on Sunday morning that deals with the second mile Christianity. And so I know that we could use a revival in those areas of a fervency for the Lord. Our hospitality. Sometimes we get so busy in life, we forget to start hosting people and encouraging people and somehow showing them just a welcoming spirit. Sometimes a church can get so set in their ways that we forget about the guests that are coming through the door and that have never been to church or hadn't been to church in a long time and are just hoping that they'll come into a welcoming church. We could certainly always use revival there, no doubt about it. What about discipling others? Tonight, is there anybody right now that you're currently discipling? Jesus commanded us not only to win people to Him, to point people to Him, introduce people to Him, but then He's told us to make disciples. Do you currently have someone? Are you praying about someone that you could maybe spend some time with each week? And to pour into them the things of God. and disciple them, making disciples, pouring just truth and life on life. And by the way, when it comes to discipling people, I'm convinced. I used to think, I always had in my mind that it always had to be in the context of you opening up your Bible, and they're opening their Bible, and you have your notebooks, and that is a place for that. I'm not being critical of that, but I want to tell you what's even probably just as powerful with it being balanced is this: life on life, serving together, spending time together, just. That's a way as a believer, older believer in Christ, with a young believer perhaps, and just spending time with them, having them in your home, again, just doing things together that would encourage them, because it's one thing to you know, go through a Bible study together. That's great, but then it's also another thing for a person to be able to benefit from your example, you know. I tell you, there's nothing like growing closer to people than praying with them. And I think I learned how to pray honestly from people that discipled me. I can name you two right off. One's David Knickerbocker. He's in heaven. But when he started, I had just been saved about 2 years. He pulled me under his wing, if you will, took me on my first missions trip to Vermont. He had planted a church there 50 years previous. He was going back to greet the people. But when I went with him, that's for the first time I'd ever been around a man of prayer. We would get around the bed there and get on our knees, and we would quote scripture. And I mean, I was just a young believer, but boy, that had an impact on me to this day. And when we can find brothers and sisters in Christ that we can, pour into, but are we doing that? Is that present? Are we so in our own little inner world that discipleship's kind of not really on the radar? What we need is a revival. I need a little reviving there. And you say, well, are you trying to make us feel bad tonight? No, I'm not. I promise. But hey, let's just really be honest. Let's take a look at Ezra when he cried out to God. He really knew that there was a work to be done in his own heart, but in the heart of the people of Israel. And I think it's a great example that it's a good, healthy place to be when we recognize that, hey, we got some areas that we really need a revival. But I think about discipling others. And then, of course, I could go on, right? The list goes on. Our love for others. Warren Wiersbe made a statement the other day, and it just right snap. Right there in the forehead, hit me. But he said this, in him defining his love, our love for others. He says, biblical love is I treat you the way God treats me. I treat you the way God treats me. And sometimes we don't treat people very well. They don't treat them like God treats us. Now, again, it doesn't mean that we just pretend that sin is not harmful, and we pretend that things like that. It's not what it's saying. It's because he even mentioned that in that example. He says, you know, being honest is an act of love, because God is honest with us, you know. So it's balanced, of course, but we're God is so long suffering with us, and many times we need a revival in our love. So when revival comes, this is where I'll come bring it to a close tonight after I show you a couple verses. When revival comes, things change. And I realized by Brother John coming to preach here, it could break out during that week. And if it did, to God be the glory. But it's not a meeting. It's not a person that's going to bring revival. It's the work of the Spirit, again, on the hearts of God's people. It's us responding to the Lord. That's where it is. And I hope that we'll be here. I hope we'll be here ready to soak in the Word of God and what God is wanting to do. But I believe we can do a lot of work in preparing for it even right now. It changes things. The Lord changes things and it starts with us. And one of the things that will change most vividly when revival is taking place is this. This is in my opinion, but I think this is all the revival books that I've read, and you've read them too. I think you have. And we hear one of the most common characteristics of people that are experiencing revival is there is a hunger for God. There's just a fervent seeking Him and going after Him. And we see that as an indication. And so what avenue has God provided for us to seek Him? What avenue has God provided for us, His children, to seek Him? What is it? His Word. Prayer. That's right. We come to Him in prayer. And that's what we're going to do tonight. And that's what we do typically on Wednesday nights as a group. But even more so than that. One of the things I want to close with here is this thought. I hope that we'll never become a church that thinks we're too far gone. I hope and pray that I'm never a person, a Christian, who thinks we're too far gone, even as a community or a country or even a church. I hope and pray that we realize that that's never the case. As long as we're breathing, as long as the Holy Spirit is in us, there's hope. Let me give you a few verses tonight to look at when we think about this. The first one is Psalm 138, verse 7. Read this with me. Though I walk in the midst of trouble. What a great truth. We walk in trouble, but the psalmist said, but thou wilt revive me. Notice 2 Timothy 3:13, another familiar passage. But evil men and seducers shall wax what? Worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's the message there. We realize that it is getting worse. It's going to continue getting worse, but never forget what the next verse is, verse 14. Notice what it says. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast both seen and assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Do you see the message there? Yes, it's trouble times. Yes, their wickedness seems to be prevailing in many areas. But I want to tell you, the message of the Scripture is there is revival. To always give hope to the believer. To always give hope to the local church. God specializes in reviving His people. And so that's what we're doing as a church. Think about Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And I'm thankful for that. So the doubters would say, we just are too far gone. But Jesus says in Matthew 19:26, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I believe in revival. And I believe that revival begins with us being honest with the Lord and believing Him to do it. So tonight, I pray that we can do that. I'd like to start off by just giving a little bit of maybe a. I'm going to attempt, without taking the place of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to attempt to orchestrate a little bit tonight. This time, this remaining time of prayer, 7:45. We got a good solid 15 minutes, but you know the kids go to 8:15. So we usually go a little bit longer, a little past 8. But what I want to do tonight is to just spend some time in prayer. So the first thing I want to do is to take a few moments for us to just pray as individuals. Let's just take a few minutes, some time. We're not going to rush it. For it's just to pray, just you and your heart with the Lord. And here in just a few moments, we'll actually join together in prayer. But this first initial one, could we just pray that God would help us to be honest about the sin in our lives where we know we need reviving, those areas that have grown and have weakened, I should say, and have just really, we know, oh God, we need your hand to bring some revival in this area of our life. And so I ask you to do that and just take some inventory in your own life. And let's go to the Lord and do that right now. And then once I come up and start praying here in just a moment, that'll be your cue. But I would encourage you not to talk with one another, if all possible. If you have to, of course, if necessary, understand. But if all possible, let's just spend this time in quiet prayer in our own hearts, for our own hearts, before the Lord. Okay? Let's do that together, and then I'll pray out loud here in just a little bit. Oh God, we thank you that you are a long-suffering and merciful God, full of compassion, of great mercy. We honor you tonight. We thank you for hearing our cries of confession and, Lord, just of honesty where we have really become lethargic spiritually, areas of our life that we're not content with that, Lord. We don't ever want to be content with that. And I sense a real general desire and hunger for revival across this sanctuary. I do, Lord. I believe these precious brothers and sisters before me, and Lord, I believe that they have a desire to see your hand move upon their hearts. And I pray that we would first and foremost always seek you first for personal revival before we think about you reviving someone else or us as a whole, which I think, Lord, I'm glad we can do that. But Lord, may we not neglect our own heart. Thank you tonight. I'm glad you heard all the prayers that came from our hearts in those areas that we are looking to you. And I thank you that you are going to help us. I believe with all my heart that we are going to experience revival in these areas where we know we need it. That's why we're here tonight, Lord, to seek your face and to see the mighty hand of God glorified in our lives. Lord, thank you again. We love you and we commit our hearts to you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. The second part of this prayer meeting is I would like to do this. Would you just find someone nearby that you can pray with, maybe groups of three or four? I think that would be good. So could y'all go ahead and do that now? Then I'm going to ask you a question. So just kind of, let's just get together with some prayer. Kind of look around and see if some folks you want to pray with. Brother Stephen, there's Greg back there. Derek. Derek, Stephen's behind you. Somebody wants to pray with Steve and Judy. They're right over there. All right. Okay. Brother Mark's going to pray over there. Brother Steve. All right, at this time, I want to ask you for specifically spiritual needs that we can bring before the Lord here in the next few moments. What are some spiritual needs that God brings to your mind that we can pray for? We're going to get to the physical ones, but right now we're talking about spiritual needs. Anybody want to start us off? Spiritual needs. Discernment. Brother Blair has asked for spiritual discernment. Miss Kathy said wisdom in all our decisions. Becky, I saw your hand. hunger for God's Word. Someone else. Just a spiritual need that only God. Yes. Yes. Obedience in the things we know we need to do. Yes, a desire to please Him in everything we do. Someone else. Could be someone you're praying for. Could be a soul that we could bring before the Lord tonight for salvation. Okay, we're going to pray for Raqqa, salvation. Anyone else? Just a spiritual need, a spiritual prayer, the things that God, only God can do in bringing back revival. Becky's family in California, salvation. They're going through things right now God's using. Let's pray for their salvation. Also, Mundo, again, we're praying for his salvation. Add him to your list. God seems to be really working on his heart, but we have not seen the breakthrough. So let's pray for him. Christian. Irene. Let's pray for Christian's mom, Irene. We could also pray tonight a fresh burden for souls. I need that so badly. Anyone else? All right. A closer walk. A closer walk and personal walk with God. Amen. Anybody else? Yes. Family relationships. It's a spiritual need. It really is. Relationships. These are all great. So let's take them before the Lord and pray over them before God and just trust Him to answer. I can pray. I can pray with y'all. Father, as we continue praying, I can't help but think of, Lord, your heart being moved by your children seeking your face. And I know that you're pleased when your children enter the throne of grace and we come boldly and we seek to obtain that mercy, God, and to find that grace in the time of need. And so thank you for hearing our cry for the spiritual needs of our own hearts, of those around us, our loved ones, Lord, situations that we got to see your hand move, God. It's going to be a miracle, Lord. We want to be a church that's seeing miracles. God, lives being changed and started in us, Lord. We're not looking for the sensational. We're looking for just spirit-filledness, God, where we are walking close to you, Lord, full of love, full of faith, full of hope, full of peace, full of compassion for the lost. Oh, God, that's what we desire and cry out to you for. So I pray in these coming weeks, these coming days, Lord, I pray that there would be a little reviving, a sweet freshness of the Holy Spirit coming upon our congregation. And I'm praying, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified through it all. Lord, we thank you for Ezra's example. We thank you for putting this whole account in the Word of God for us to see it. And we just trust that you'll do the same for us that you did for them. Thank you, Lord. We love you and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to take the last few minutes of this prayer meeting to pray for anybody that's got a specific physical need tonight. There's a sickness. There's something that we just really need to pray for tonight. Does anyone know of a specific sickness? Yes. Oh.
So he was the caretaker of his wife's family, and I don't know if they're James or not.
What's his name?
James.
James. Let's lift up James. Father, you know all about James's fall and the fractured skull and, Lord, the hindrance that it even was keeping his daughter from going to the Bible study that Christian's leading at work. You know all those things, and we want to enter in tonight and pray for James's divine healing. We pray that he would be saved. We pray the gospel would get to him. We pray for his daughter to be saved, if she's not. And we're just, Lord, please be with the doctors and all those around his care right now. We're praying for a miracle. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Someone else. Someone physical. Let's pray for Greta. Lord, we pray for Greta. Lord, she's trying to determine whether or not to do a hip replacement, very serious surgery. But Lord, we know many have been done and it has been a blessing to many. But we just pray for Greta tonight that you would bring healing to her body. And if you choose to do this, Lord, we just pray that she would have a perfect peace about it. You'd give her the perfect doctor, and we're praying for a miracle in her life that she would find a solution to the pain that she's experiencing. In Jesus' name, we believe it and we pray it. Amen. Someone else, a physical need tonight. All right. Well, the Lord answers prayer. Amen. He's faithful, and we can trust him to do it. Let's be in prayer throughout this week. I hope you all will be safe. Everybody knows they're expecting some sort of white stuff on Friday. And so be careful. And I know we're getting all giddy about it. Those Yankees from up north, they're all rolling their eyes at all our you Southerners. Oh, goodness. But with all seriousness, you know, stay safe. If it does, we're going to get probably looks like some really bad weather. Stay home. Enjoy that time as family and encourage yourselves. And if you really want to get outside and throw a snowball at somebody, maybe you can do that, too. But I want you to know, church, I love you. I thank God for you. And let's just keep trusting the Lord. Amen. All right. Have a good night.